Man, I am so, how many of you were here Wednesday night? How many of you were here, wow, yeah. I'm so excited about the prayer gathering that we had for our valley right here in this room this last Wednesday. What a powerful time. What I loved about it is that we kind of just got our eyes off the political situation in our nation and some of the things we see in our world, and we just put our eyes on Jesus. I want you to know, are we concerned? Do we need to be proactive about what's happening in our world? Absolutely. But I also want you to know that we are citizens of a greater kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen? And I will guarantee you, God is not sitting on his throne in heaven, wringing his hands, trying to figure out what to do next. You know what I mean? God is not filled with worry and fear. God is not up there saying, oh my, I need some advice. God has a plan, amen? God has a plan, and we get to be a part of this great plan of God. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. And so while there is increasing darkness in the world around us, I want you to know that increasing darkness actually serves to open people's hearts. Because what I hear from a lot of people who don't know the Lord, people are saying, wow, we're looking for answers. We don't know where to turn. This world is a mess, and my life is a mess, and people are starting to open up to the Lord. So I want you to see this, church. I want you to see that even though there are difficult times in our world, I want you to see this is an opportunity for the kingdom of God. It's an opportunity for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up and shine forth the light of Jesus. Man, I'm preaching better than your amen, and I'll tell you that right now. This is an opportunity for the church of Jesus Christ to stand up and shine the light of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Better. And man, I am so excited. I shared with you last week that I'm just going through a time right now in my own life where I've been praying about the coming year, been praying about 2017. Lord, lead us and guide us. And I believe that God wants to take Bethel Church into great new places in the coming year. I believe God has some great things for us. And one of the things that we are planning for the spring, so this is several months out, but for the spring, we're planning on adding a second Sunday morning service. Yeah. And we see that that in the world that we live in, people's schedules, we're busy people, and we want to provide opportunity for people to be able to attend church and make it a little bit more convenient. And the whole idea is we want to reach more people. We want to reach more people. So right now we're looking at probably a 9 o'clock service and a 10:30 service. So those of you who like going to church nice and early, you can come at 9 o'clock. If you don't like coming that early, you like the 10 o'clock time better, it's only a half an hour later, 10:30. So 9 o'clock and 10:30. And we're looking at March for making that change. And we want to be at a place as a church where we're willing to try new things. And that we are willing to be flexible, we're willing to make changes so that we can reach more and more people. And so that's one of the exciting things that God is laying upon our heart. Also, next year, we want to provide more opportunities. We're really sensing that, and this is part of why we would want to have two services, we're really sensing that as a church, we want to provide more teaching opportunities, more classes on marriage, family, finances, the thing that touch all of our lives. God has answers for all of these things, amen? And so as a church, we want to provide more teaching, more training, so that the people of God will be stronger in our faith and more equipped, not only for our personal lives, but more equipped to share what God can do in other people's lives, amen? And so I want you to know, God is good. We're gonna have a great finish of this year and a great start to next year. All right, are you in John chapter 3? John chapter 3. Here we go. John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So we're introduced to this guy. His name is Nicodemus, and we're told a couple of things about Nicodemus right off the bat. First of all, we're told that he is a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were a sect of Judaism, so he's Jewish, and it was the strictest of sects in Judaism. They were the ones that were the law keepers, the rule keepers. Okay, these were the conservative, the very conservative Jews. And then we're also told that he is a member of the leading council, the ruling party, and this group was called the Sanhedrin. It was made up of 70 elders in Israel. And so we learn those two things right away about Nicodemus. But another thing that we know about Nicodemus, and we don't know this from the Bible, but we know this from other historical writings that mention Nicodemus, we also know that he was a very wealthy man. All right? So here's this Nicodemus. He's a religious person, he's a powerful person, and he's a wealthy person. Religious, powerful, and wealthy. And he comes to see Jesus in the middle of the night. Now, we assume that the reason he comes to see Jesus during the night is that he was afraid of what people might say if they saw him consorting with Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus at night, and it's interesting that he calls Jesus Rabbi. Do you notice that? He refers to Jesus as Rabbi. Now, the word Rabbi means teacher. And it was a title that was reserved for men who had gone through very specific rabbi training, all right? So not just anybody could be a rabbi. You had to study under a rabbi, be a disciple of a recognized rabbi. And you had to do this for many, many years to be considered a rabbi yourself. And so it's interesting that here's Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish religion, a powerful member, a leading member, a member of the ruling party, a member of the Sanhedrin, and he calls Jesus a rabbi. Why is that interesting? Because we know that Jesus never did go through any kind of formal rabbi training. He didn't sit under another teacher. He didn't sit under another rabbi. But Jesus was widely recognized as a rabbi because when he taught with authority and he taught with anointing. And people recognized the anointing Jesus had upon him, the authority that he taught the word of God with. And so even though he wasn't recognized as a trained rabbi, everybody knew Jesus was a rabbi. And so here's this guy coming to Jesus, calling him rabbi. Now, to me, this is interesting. It tells me a couple of things about Nicodemus. First of all, it tells me that Nicodemus was looking for answers. He's looking for answers. I mean, this guy's powerful. He's influential. He's wealthy. And yet, he's still looking for answers. And so he comes to Jesus. How many of you know you can be wealthy, you can be powerful, you can be famous, you can be influential, and there can still be an emptiness in your life? Isn't that right? There's still an emptiness. This guy, really, in terms of their culture and their day, this guy had it all. But there was something missing. Why else would he go to Jesus? He's looking at Jesus, and he's saying, "Man, Jesus has something I don't have." And so he goes to Jesus at night. There must have been something about Jesus, something about the way Jesus treated people, something about the way Jesus lived, something about the way Jesus spoke and taught. There was something about Jesus that was different from anything Nicodemus had ever seen in his life. I mean, this guy, he had all the religious answers, but there was something about Jesus where he's going, man, all of my religious training doesn't compare to Jesus. I mean, I thought I had all the answers. I thought I knew how this thing worked. I thought I understood who God was. I thought I understood about life. And yet there's something in my heart that is just drawn to Jesus. And maybe that's where you find yourself today. You're looking at life, and maybe in a lot of ways you've got it all together, but you know in your heart there's something stirring, and you know there's something more. And I want you to know that more that you're looking for in life is Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the answer to every single question in life. So Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus. And why does he come to Jesus? He comes to Jesus because he knows Jesus has come from God. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. And how did he know he had come from God? Because no one could do these miracles that you do unless they came from God. So he recognizes Jesus is a teacher that's unlike any other teacher. He's a teacher that has come from God. And he does things that no ordinary human being could do. He does all these miracles, and we know that Jesus had, you know, turned water into wine. He walked on water. He changed the weather by speaking a word, by speaking to a storm. He healed people who had leprosy, people that had been blind all of their life. Jesus touched them and they could see. He opened up deaf ears. All of these miracles. And so Nicodemus, even though he's a religious guy and he's got all this power and all this wealth, he's looking at Jesus and going, Jesus is different. I haven't seen this before. And so he goes to Jesus looking for answers. And I think Nicodemus' whole world is being shaken. He's like, man, I thought I had God in all of these categories. I thought I had life figured out. I thought I knew for sure I was going to heaven when I died because I'm Jewish after all. He thought he had all the answers, but all of a sudden, here's this guy that he knows has come from God. And listen, if you know someone has come directly from God, I mean, you know this person's come from God, you might want to start asking him some questions. You know what I mean? If you know, hey, this guy's come from God, you might want to start asking questions. And so this guy comes to Jesus with his questions. And I'm sure Nicodemus probably had all kinds of questions. Like, what does God think about me? What happens to me after I die? If I stand before God someday after I die, what's God going to say? What's God going to do? I mean, these are all questions that Nicodemus had, but they're all questions all of us have. What is life really all about? And here was Jesus' answer to Nicodemus. Again, in verse 3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Unless they're born again. This is where we get the term born again Christian. And Jesus leads us to believe here that the only way to go to heaven is to be born again. It's not one of many ways. Jesus said, this is the way. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus doesn't say no one can see God unless they're a really good guy, unless you shave your head, buy a robe, and join a religion. Jesus doesn't say you got to do this, that, you got to be born again. That's the answer. You must be born again. So then, of course, the question is, if you got to be born again to enter the kingdom of God, what does that mean? What is this born again? What does that really mean? And even in our culture, it's a term that gets kind of thrown out there. It's a category, oh, those born again Christians. But there are very few people who really understand biblically, what does it mean to be born again? What is this born again thing? And so Jesus goes on and he explains that in verse 5. He says, Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So Jesus says, here's what it means to be born again. You must be born of water and born of the Spirit. Now, water is a picture of washing. It's a picture of cleansing. So Jesus says, in order to enter the kingdom of God, the first thing that needs to happen is your soul needs to be washed. Your soul needs to be made clean, okay? And it's silly to think that you could wash your sins away by, you know, with soap and water. You can't. That's a physical thing. You can't do that. Jesus is not talking about physical cleansing. He's talking about a spiritual cleansing. And so when people get baptized in water, like we're going to do in just a minute, when people get baptized in water, it's a picture of the work that God has already done inside of them. No one gets saved. No one goes to heaven just because they get baptized in water. Baptism in water is a physical picture of a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality that our sins have been washed away. Not by baptism, but our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. We all need a spiritual cleansing. You see, God loves all of us, and He loves all of us equally. But there is one thing that stands between every human being and God, and that thing is sin. Because God is a holy God. And so sin stands in the way of the relationship that God wants to have with us. He loves each one of us so much, but we all have a common problem, and that common problem is sin. In fact, I've never met a person in all of my life, I've never met a person who has claimed that they haven't sinned. Any takers this morning? Of course, you're not going to raise your hand. Even if you think that, you're not going to raise your hand, but never met a person who actually thinks that they've never sinned. We all know there's sin in our lives. We all get that. We all understand. In fact, the Bible even says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So sin is a common problem. We all share that problem. So in order to be born again, that sin's got to be dealt with. And that's why Jesus died on a cross for us, to wash away our sin. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, Jesus, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. How many of you are thankful that Jesus has washed our sins away? Yeah. And this gift is available to each and every person. The blood of Jesus washing away our past, washing away every failure, every sin, every form of rebellion, the blood of Jesus. So Jesus says, in order to enter the kingdom, you got to be born of water. You need to have your sins washed away. But then there's a second part. Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, and you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So becoming a Christian means we're born of water, but also we're born of the Spirit. You see, salvation is a miracle. It's something that the Holy Spirit does. It's not a matter of joining a church, becoming a religious person, becoming a better person. Nothing wrong with any of those things. They're good things. They just don't save us. Jesus said you have to be born of water and born of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God now that brings life to us. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit comes in, and God begins to change us from the inside out. This is how spiritual transformation takes place. Spiritual transformation is never from the outside in. It's always from the inside out. It's not me adopting a religion, adopting a set of rules, starting to live a certain way and act like certain people. It's a miracle. It's supernatural. It's God changing our hearts, changing our lives. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't experienced that, you might think, man, this whole Christian thing is so far removed from me. I could never live up to those people's standards. I could never be a part of church. I could never do anything. Hey, stop worrying about all of that and open your heart to God and let God do a miracle in your heart. Yeah. It's not you trying to be a better person. Oh, I can't live up to that standard. No, we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's it. And when we do that, when we open our heart to Jesus, Jesus washes away our past. He washes away our sins, and he puts his Holy Spirit in us, and new life begins within us. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's supernatural. We can't get our minds around it. I think this is why a lot of people miss it, is because we try to figure it out. How does this actually work? Listen, you're never going to figure it out. It's a miracle. It's supernatural. We just open. Man, when I gave my life to Jesus as a young person, there was so much I didn't know. There was so much I didn't know. But I did know this. I knew my heart was empty. And I knew Jesus, the Son of God, died on a cross for my sins. And so I opened my heart to him, and God changed my life. It's that simple. That simple. Now, if a person must be born again to enter the kingdom, what does that mean? Who is it available to? Well, Jesus answers that question a few verses later in verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Who is the gift of salvation for? Who is the gift of eternal life? Who is the kingdom of God for? It's for whoever believes. Whoever believes. You might not feel like you're the most religious, you're the most powerful, you're the best person in the world. It's for whoever what? Believes. For whoever believes. And when we open our hearts to God, God changes our lives. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they see God as a God who's vindictive, who's angry, a God who delights in sending people to hell. And I want you to know, nothing can be further than the truth. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And in fact, God desires our salvation, and he desires it so much that he was willing to let his own Son come into this world and be crucified for our sins. Just think about this. Think about the posture that Jesus was crucified in, with his arms out like this. There's a lot of ways we can take this, but I want you to think about this. To me, this is God saying, you can go to hell if you want to, but you're going to have to go through me first. Yeah. I mean, if you really want to persist in your ways, you can go to hell if you choose to, but I'm going to do everything I can to stand in your way. Jesus died on a cross to save us from our sin, to save us from an eternity separated from God. This, guys, is the great love of God. This is what it means to be born again. And those that are being baptized today, this is what they've experienced in Jesus Christ. They're not standing up here saying, I'm a perfect person, I'm a model Christian. They're just saying, Jesus has come into my life and he's changed my life. He's changed my life. And I want you to know, if you will open up your heart to God this morning, he'll do that for you too. This message is for whoever believes. For whoever believes. Would you right now just bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And this would be a time for just having some personal time between you and God. So I want you to just kind of do your best to forget about who's sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you, or forget about this guy up here preaching. And I want you to just think right now about where you are with God. Do you know today that you're born again? Do you know today that if you were to die and stand before God, your sins would be forgiven and you would enter the kingdom of God? Do you know today, do you have that peace in your heart that if Jesus were to come back today, because the Bible says Jesus is coming back one day, the Bible says he's going to come like a thief in the night. Do you know that when Jesus comes back that you're ready for that day? you're ready for that day. And I want you to know you can have that peace today. You can have that assurance in your heart that you're born again. You can have that assurance in your heart because there's a reason you're here today. You're here today because God loves you and God wanted you to hear this message. God wanted you to feel His Holy Spirit in this place as we were worshiping. God wanted you to encounter Him today. And so if you're here this morning and you don't have that peace in your heart, it would be my privilege to lead you in a very simple prayer, a prayer of faith, just opening our hearts up to Jesus Christ. If that's you today, you say, man, I don't have all the answers, Tim. I don't know exactly what this is. It's okay. It's okay. If you, the little bit of faith that you do have right now, if you will open the door of your heart just a crack, just start opening it up, I'm telling you, Jesus will come in and change your life. So if today you want to be included in that prayer, I'm gonna count to three. And when I say three, when I get to the number three, if you want to be included in this prayer to receive Christ in your life, I want you to raise your hand up, okay? When I say three, and I'm believing this morning there's going to be several of you here today that are going to open your hearts to Jesus. I believe that God is doing a work in this place this morning. There's a reason you're here. God is speaking to your heart today. So if you want to be included in this prayer, you raise your hand when I say three. One, two, three. Yeah, all over this place, all over this place. Yeah, all over this place. This is what I believe God was going to do today. All over this place. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There's probably 15 people. 15. Hey, anybody else today? Anybody else? Just hold your hand up nice and high. All right, hold your hand up. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. You're just saying yes to Jesus today. You're saying yes to the love of God today. All right, you can put your hands down now. Would you pray? And I'm just going to pray one sentence at a time. And would you pray after me? And remember, you're not just repeating words. You're actually talking to God. And God is listening right now. He sees you. He sees you. He hears your heart today. So would you pray along with me? Father God, I open my heart to you today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for making sure I was in church today to hear this message. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe you have risen from the dead. God, I want my life to be right with you. I open my heart to you. I ask for your forgiveness. Please wash my sins away in the blood of Jesus and fill me with your Spirit. God, I want to be born again. And this morning, I'm giving my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, amen. It's a miracle. Jesus did a lot of miracles, a lot of powerful things. But still, the miracle of salvation is the greatest miracle of all. It really is. God's ability to change our heart, that's the biggest miracle of all. And the Bible says all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven, the angels of heaven rejoice over just one person who finds Jesus. Yeah, amen. Amen. So if you pray that prayer with me, I want to just say, welcome to the family of God. God bless you. Yeah. And if you came with someone brought you to church today, you came with someone, make sure you tell them that you just prayed that prayer, okay? And if you came by yourself and there's no one to tell, come and tell me. All right? Tell one of the pastors. Just let us know that you prayed to receive Christ. In fact, there's a card in the pew rack or chair rack in front of you. Not this card, a different card, but I'm holding this card up as an example. But there's a card up in the pew rack or chair rack in front of you. And first of all, if you're a guest, if you'd take a moment to fill that out this morning. And if you prayed to receive Christ into your life, there's a checkbox for you. You can put that on there, and that's a way that you can let us know that you prayed to receive Christ today. Also with those cards, we're just started doing this just to kind of motivate people to turn them, our visitors to turn those in. If you're a first-time guest, or maybe you just haven't filled out a guest card, for every guest card that gets turned in here at Bethel Church from now on, we're gonna contribute $2 to a local ministry. So this morning, the ministry that we're gonna support is Redemption Ridge. So every guest card that gets turned in today, now you gotta be new, okay? But for every guest card that gets turned in, as a church, we're gonna give $2 to Redemption Ridge. So you'll know, hey, not only did I help the guys out at Bethel Church by turning in my card, I helped someone who's being ministered to at Redemption Ridge, which is a great ministry helping young ladies out of the sex trafficking industry. And so it's a worthy cause. Amen.